Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune in to Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
This is a national health alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. Get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a free meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pedometer as our special gift to you. We have knee, back, and other braces available, as well as pharmacy services. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and you have insurance, we can help.
888-303-9136. 888-303-9136. 888-303-9136. That's 888-303-9136.
Do you want the best rates on term life insurance? Then remember this number, 800-989-1415. Protect your family with $250,000 or more in term life insurance coverage and save up to 75%. Rates are lower than they have ever been, so now is the best time to protect your family with quality term life insurance. Call now for your free quote, 800-989-1415. We'll shop the top-rated insurance companies to get you the best rates from companies you can count on. So don't wait any longer. Call now for the lowest rates ever and save up to 75%. Even if you have term life insurance, you can always add more coverage. If you don't, have term life insurance protect your family today. The call is free. Call Term Direct now. 800-989-1415. 800-989-1415. 800-989-1415.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need.
Blog Talk Radio, is anybody there?
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune in to Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
Hello, everybody. This is Blog Talk Radio. I believe Shirley McKellar will be in shortly, from what I understand. Rihanna, are you there? Are you there? Okay, I guess Rihanna's not there either. Well, hello, Mark and Fleming. What I'll do is I'll just go ahead and just kind of just fill the space in with some information that I've come across over the last week since we talked last. There's a lot of stuff going on, as you guys know, in the world. There's a lot of stuff going on overseas. There's a lot of stuff going on here. And so what I just want to talk about is like both of them, what's going on over there and what's going on over here. Now, globally, what I want folks to understand is that globally, you know, what goes on globally has direct effect what happens here, and what happens here has effect globally. So right now, as far as, okay, I'm starting off with Israel and, you know, that whole thing over there, what's going on with that. Now, as far as the Israeli war is concerned, of course, as you all remember, at the beginning of this thing, you know, everybody was pro. And then, of course, the monster got out of hand. And I say the monster because, you know, the monster with our money got out of hand. So using our money to kill a bunch of innocent people. So basically it's gotten so bad. Show how bad it's gotten. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, the president. Now everybody is pushing back on Netanyahu. Now they still haven't done what they need to do, which is they need to cut the funding. Now, on Netanyahu's part, you know, he's been like he's like Trump if Trump would have been president. He tried to get rid of the Supreme Court over in Israel before he got this war started. He tried to get rid of them. He was about to go to jail potentially, and so now he's in a situation where he don't want the war to stop. Because if it stopped, more likely he going to jail. And now he has international charges against him. So, you know, so that's just one heck of a mess. But just some background on how Israel got started, for those who may not know. That whole program got started back after the turn of century. As Europe was in 1885 when they carved up Africa, as part of that carving, they basically created the state of Israel as kind of like an outpost. So it actually started like in early 19s. In my research, I found out that the NAACP, you ever heard about, well, you know, Jewish people helped the NAACP get started. Well, in my research, what I found is that, yeah, they helped them get started, but it was in the context of them, what they were going to do in creating a state of Israel. So, you know, so all that stuff is connected. And so now, after they did that, after they created the state, rolled it forward, World War II come, killed 6 million, and then they legitimized it. Now, something else I found out since the war started was the Jewish people, the European Jews that are in Israel, they was called Ashkenazis, I believe, Ashkenazi Jews. And so in research I found that they are converted Jews. I'm not going up in the whole story of what happened to them in Europe. They was had Muslims on one side, Christians on the other side, so they decided they would become Jewish. Okay, so that's how they came to the faith. and so I found also that it's illegal for you to get a DNA test for Israelis to get a DNA test. And so what happened was the Ashkenazis over here, you know, they started getting their own DNA test, and they found out that they said they have no blood relationship to the land. So basically have a situation where we got a kind of an outpost in Africa that was set up by the European Union. We should say European syndicate, because that was a great, when 1885, when they set up, when they divided up Africa, that's a, Africa is a crime scene. It's an ongoing crime scene. If you actually, you know, think about it. These folks got together. Okay, slavery didn't end it. I mean, slavery didn't end it. You know, as far as it's supposed to have ended. And then in the 1800s, remember the same time after they, you know, killed the Freedom Bank and, you know, brought in Jim Crow and the slave codes and all that kind of stuff. So once they did that, you know, in conjunction with, so while they was doing that over there, they was dividing up Africa. So now we have a situation where Africa is still trying to get free. They're in a period now what's called neo-colonialism. Neo means kind of, means actually, but not really. And so right now what's going on in Africa is the Africans have realized that nobody's helping them industrialize. Everybody's just taking all their resources, which they have 6% of the world's critical resources are in Africa. And so, you know, they're trying to get away from the exploitation model. So the last time they tried to do, get away from this exploitation model, the CIA went over and killed everybody. The latest person to try it was Gaddafi. Obama was president then, and they sent the UN in and killed him. Why? Because he was industrializing and improving the lives of his folks. So when we hear about, you know, American interests, when you hear the term American interest, just ask yourself, what does that mean, American interests? And as a Vietnam veteran, I can tell you, American interest means big business interests, big business interests. Now, over in Africa, they tell you, well, we're over here fighting terrorism. First of all, ain't no Africans going to come over here and do nothing to nobody over here. So I don't know what that's supposed to be about. You know, and my point is, they need to be fighting terrorism over here. You know, we have our own terrorism. And so so why are you telling me you and Africa fighting, you know, doing this, that, and other? No, it's part of the whole exploitation program. So in this particular situation, I'm pulling for Africa. I'm not pulling for America to continue to exploit these people. They've been stealing forever. And so so I'm just hoping that eventually, you know, America will get right and the European Union get right, and they'll let these people develop and industrialize like China, like they did, like they have China, they have Japan, they have Germany, they have everybody but Africa. So I'm hoping that they will change that tune and begin to help Africa industrialize. Now, what that'll mean to me and your children, would mean that they'll have an opportunity to invest and work globally. A lot of people don't know that the African continent, they look to the African Americans for leadership. A lot of folks, you know, a lot of us don't know that. They don't know that we are the leader of this movement. Yeah, you know, we helped with when South Africa was going through their travail with the Botha government and so forth. Folks like Mickey Leland and a bunch of other folks amped up that movement, and eventually, you know, Mandela was released. So the African Americans, we were a big part of that. We also have ties with Africa from World War II and World War I, actually. So we have a long-standing relationship with the continent. So, and we just need to develop that more fully. And like I said, again, as we go forward, and the problem is they're not going to show you any, but they're not going to, you know, you're not going to hear about any of this on the news. So So, you know, so that's the thing. That's the, you're not going to hear about it. So when we hear about just half of an issue, then, you know, we can't get the whole picture. Now, Ukraine, that's the other war we're involved in. Now notice that on one side, we're having somebody that's trying to survive because somebody's trying to take their property, which is Ukraine, Russia. Then on the other side, we got somebody where we're helping them take somebody's property. So as you might imagine, that's kind of a dilemma as far as like, when you're trying to find out where your moral compass is. And so my position is, you know, the Israeli political military outposts, you know, don't have the moral authority that they need to survive. I don't think they can survive. I think what Netanyahu has done is he has actually exposed the relationship. You know, the world is changing. That's been a staple of America. We inherited Israel after World War II, as we will quote the leaders of the free world, right? So as leaders of the free world quote, we inherited Israel. So that's how we actually got Israel. I heard Joe Biden say, "I'm a Zionist." And so, again, that's something else I learned. I didn't know, because I'd always heard the term Zionist. I always wondered what that meant. Well, you know, within the Jewish faith, there's the Ashkenazi Jews, and then there are the Zionists. So they're not the same thing, from what I found out. The Zionists that helped create Israel, it wasn't things with a religious intent. It had no religious the Torah says that the Israelites can't create a state. So when they created the state, they created it as a Zionist state. So it's not a religious state. It's what they call a Zionist state. And so, of course, you know, Joe Biden, he was the beginning of the war. He was saying he's a Zionist, and Nancy Pelosi, they were Zionists. And so now, you know, the Zionists, they kind of went overboard. So I'm hoping that something will happen.
Kind of.
That will make that light happen. Who's that there?
It's Rihanna.
Rihanna's in the house.
Rihanna's in the house. Yeah, they kind of went overboard.
Yeah, well,
that's an understatement.
Well, you know, I kind of understated it. You know,
ooh.
So. But now, like I say, so. So anyway, so now it's like, you know, they hand stuck on that tar baby. You know, so I don't know how they gonna pull it off and still be smiling. But what do you think about that? So it's
Well, I think that they all should know better. Joe Biden should especially know better. He knows exactly that what you're saying is true. And we have watched, you know, the unholy, you know, alliance that has gone so out of control. It's not just the right wing. I mean, it's both sides have had this bizarre, Israel to be in the Zionism, and you know what I mean? Enabled it and let it flourish.
Remember they used to say the American foreign policy stopped at the water's edge. Remember that?
Remember.
When a president's overseas, nobody criticized. Well, okay, when Obama came through, they threw it. All them rules.
Yes.
All them rules.
Yes. Well, that's how I met Dr. McKellar. I reached out to her when presidents, when the Arab Spring happened,
mm-hmm.
All of them immediately were criticizing President Obama over his foreign policy stance. And then when Hillary Clinton went over there with Huma Abedin, and they were having shoes thrown at them and rocks, and Huma Abedin was pregnant, and it was a dangerous situation. It was mm-hmm. a dangerous situation for everybody, but we had, you know, our Secretary of State over there, and Michelle Bachmann, Louie Gohmert, and Steve King, the three moronic white supremacist idiot conspiracy theorists, mm-hmm. made a propaganda video to look like it was an official statement of foreign mm-hmm. policy, directly undermining our president and our mm-hmm. Secretary of State while our Secretary of State was over there. And they put it out, and of course it was used as propaganda, and it got people hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't funny. It wasn't a joke. These people make a joke and a mockery out of everything and then talk about how feckless President Obama was. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What made us in danger, what made us look like a joke, were these people. And those people truly are Zionists, truly understand exactly why Israel is what it is, understand that, yeah, a bunch of European white Jews were plucked up and given a whole country right there in the Middle East that had nothing to do with them. And if you criticize anything with that, you're a white supremacist, or you're an anti-Semite. None of those people are Semitic. They're European.
But you know, one of the historic corrections the things we have to make is that there is no, there is that the Middle, quote, Middle East, the Middle East is Africa. And
yes,
again,
exactly.
That's one of the things where, you know, where they, like even in the history books, like they made Africa about the same size as the United States when actually it's like about 2.5 times
right.
the size. So I'm saying,
right.
So, you know, that's one of the things that they've did that still play with our minds. And so we have to, so we have,
exactly.
We got a lot of stuff we got to unwrap.
Middle Eastern, Judeo-Christian,
yeah.
You know, all of that crap. You're right. You're
yeah.
exactly right.
Yeah, all those misnomers. And so basically in a time, what I'm saying to folks is this, you know, we're in a time of revelation, and revelation just simply means information being revealed. It don't mean the world coming to an end. Now, it do mean one kind of world coming to an end, and that's the world of lies and deceit and so forth and so on. But as far as like, you know, the world ain't coming to an end, y'all, so don't worry about that. Now, for those, you know, you got coming on the 8th, on April 8th, you know, and so forth. And so it's going to be a lot of excitement about that coming. And what I'm telling, folks is this: I'm saying, you know, if you care to look, if you look up at the sun is white. It's not red or yellow anymore. It's white. So it's kind of like an elephant in the room and nobody saying anything. You know, I'm not looking. I'm like, I got some friends, you know, they're afraid to look up.
May I jump in? Good evening.
Of course. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. And,
well, hello
and
there.
Let me just tell you, fine, don't look up. Use your 3D glasses if you do.
That's right.
Don't do it. Do we have Mr. Tyler on the phone with us tonight?
Oh, there are a couple of numbers. Mr. Tyler, please press 1, and I will open up your phone line.
Okay, say hello to us, and Mr. Tyler Campbell, if you're there, say hello to us, so we'll know you're
the
there.
Is it the 469 or the 214, Mom?
Let me check his number to see which one it is. I'm sorry. I can't remember what my dear friend's number is. Let's see. Tyler. So how are things going, guys? Let's see, here he is. His is a 512 number. So it is.
Okay, I'm opening that line right now.
Okay, great.
Okay, Mr. Tyler, your line should be open. Oh, here he is.
Oh, wonderful.
Let me open his line instead. And let me try this. Mr. Tyler,
okay.
Is this your line or is it the other line that I need to open?
887.
Let me try this one.
Tyler,
oh,
there you are.
Welcome.
Oh, there he is. Oh, hello, Mr. Tyler Campbell. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Marvelous Monday. And by the way, Tyler is my cousin, everybody. So, Tyler, how are you?
Welcome.
Tyler, you there?
Hello.
I know. There he is. I heard his voice. Are you there, Tyler?
No, I'm not Tyler. I'm Mike.
Oh, okay. No,
oh,
that's not him.
I'm sorry. We'll be right back with you, Mike. Okay.
512.
Sorry, call is going crazy. Let me.
Hey, sure. I was thinking. I said, no, I know East Texan. But anyway.
He's not an East Texan. He's an Austinite. But at any rate,
okay, I think that's
got
it now.
Father Earl Campbell is. So, Tyler,
no,
are you there?
Oh, now his call dropped. We're having trouble with that phone line. He'll call back, though. He's called a few times.
What'd you say, Fred? I was talking about the guy that she mistakenly had on. I said he found out. He didn't have
No, he's not East Texas, right? I got you. Let me ask Tyler, are you there?
I was going, boy, Tyler shows sound different than the East Texans I know.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I just sent Tyler a message to see if he is there. So a lot of things are going on, guys, while we are waiting for Tyler to come. I think I heard you guys talking about the totality. I named our event Totality Tyler North. In other words, North Tyler. And
ooh,
the event that's going to be held at Totality Tyler North will be held at the Quality Inn Hotel parking lot, and we're going to have a lot of things. We're going to have a bounce house for the children. We're going to have food out there. We're asking people to bring your own lawn chair. We'll have available 3D glasses because we don't want you looking at the sun with your naked eye. And so if you need those, we'll have those available. They'll be a fee of $1 to purchase your 3D glasses. And so we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs available for you to get. We're going to have tea and sodas and water, and we're just going to have a great time. We're going to have music out there. And thanks to one of the local businesses here in Tyler, there will be free popcorn provided by us, Taste of North Delight Restaurant. There will be free snow cones, and it's just going to be a fun day. We right now, guys, we have 500,000 people who have signed up in our hotels and in our parks with their RVs and all of that, and they will be coming in starting that Friday, and we'll be checking out of all the way until on Tuesday, Mr. Arthur. So it's going to be a whole weekend.
You know, my little hometown is come over 100% and in. So you know, hey, so you know, it's about what they expect it's going to be they're talking about hundreds of thousands of people going to be down there looking at the thing. So
down
I hope everybody. Sure, I hope everybody's battery works.
Well, we have a half million that signed up to be in Tyler.
Uh-huh, yeah, I think it's about a 500,000 here. But I hope everybody's battery
works. Yeah, I would not be
out.
Surprised.
Sure.
We encourage people, to get gas your vehicles up, get your cell phones charged up, Make sure you got water and bread and whatever else you need, eggs and milk and whatever you need in your home. Make sure you have all of that, right?
In case you have to walk back home, yeah.
Because we're probably going to run out of things with that many people in the city at one time. Even though we do have lots of people coming in and out of here to work every day, we have that here in the city of Tyler. So,
they're going to close the schools.
Well, Tyler Independent School District is not, but all the other schools all around will be closed. But our Tyler Independent School District will not, because they said that parents got to work and the kids got to be cared for. And so that's the issue with TISD. They saw the need to continue with school. But a lot of the schools will be out. There will be events at Tyler Junior College at the Planetarium on that Saturday. There's just lots of events that are going to go on all of the weekend.
It seems like you think the school should be going on, you think they should be out for it.
Well, if you have opportunity and space where your children will be cared for, but there are lots of kids that probably parents will have to be working and they won't have any place to be.
Right. So, that
being said, school needs to open its doors.
Because
there are lots of kids who won't be in school, and there are lots of kids who don't actually go to a structured school. So, yeah, but that's it. That's it. Well, you guys keep talking. I'm going to see if I can find where in the world is Tyler Campbell. So I'm going to find out where he is. If you guys will continue on talking right now, okay?
Okay.
What do you think about the eclipse there, Rihanna? What is the eclipse anyway? What is that?
Well, I'll tell you, Colin is completely obsessed with outer space and in particular the moon. So, right now I'm looking at on my wall a projection of a full moon. And he's waiting for me to take him outside because I think, is it April 8th is the eclipse,
right.
But tonight is a certain kind of moon. Let me see what the moon is doing tonight. Last night it did something, and it does something tonight. Like, it looks really big right now. And it's all leading up to this eclipse. So the April 8th eclipse, I'll tell everybody what's going on for that eclipse. The solar eclipse, the 2024 total eclipse. And let's see. Monday, April 8th, 2024, total solar eclipse will cross North America, passing over Mexico, the United States, and Canada. The total solar eclipse will begin over the South Pacific Ocean, weather permitting. The first location in the continental America that will experience totality is Mexico's Pacific coast at around 11:07 a.m. Pacific time. The path of the eclipse continues from Mexico, entering into the United States and Texas, and traveling through Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. Small parts of Tennessee and Michigan will also experience the total solar eclipse, and then it will enter Canada at southern Ontario and continue through Quebec, going all the way to Cape Breton. The eclipse will exit the continental North America on the Atlantic coast of Newfoundland, Canada at 5:16 p.m. NDT. And There's a really cool like table that tells you exactly right to the minute when you'll be able to see it from your area. For example, Dallas, 12:23 Central Time is when the partial eclipse begins, and it goes to totality at 1:40 p.m. Central Time, and it's its maximum at 1:42 p.m. And if I'm not mistaken, the last time we had this type of eclipse was when I was in kindergarten.
So the whole episode is going to last about how long? He said from From what time to what time? So start
from
at what 12, time?
From 12, like in Dallas, it starts at 12:23 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And it reaches its maximum at 1:42 p.m.
So the whole thing but is going to take an hour and, what, 20-some minutes, that would do. About an hour and 20.
Well, once it reaches its maximum, it still has to go back the other way. So I think it's double that, if I'm not mistaken.
Here. Okay, now the thing that people are freaking out about is the fact that in 2017, we had another solar eclipse. I don't know if you could pull it out, if you could find that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, in fact, what happened was eclipse made, I think it was like a north, with a northeast to the south east line, and this one is making a from the opposite direction, and it winds up making an X United States. So that's why. You know anything about
that?
So we
got a target on our back.
Well, folks, you know, that's just go with that revelation thing that we're talking about. So that's why, folks. Yeah, you got the one line that this was going to be going the other way. Oh, man, wait a minute. It's on track.
Did they say it comes like every 20 years, guys?
For a total, I think so. Because I was in kindergarten when we had the first one that I ever remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I done slept through all the ones.
Well, at least you weren't staring directly at it.
There you go. I was just about to say that.
I just still can't even believe it. I remember, I think we were on the radio, if not that day, the day or two before, and none of us could believe it. We just couldn't believe it. But yet we could.
I know.
We
could.
Preschoolers understand, put on your glasses if you're going to look at the eclipse.
Exactly.
And don't look at the sun. And this idiot just, my word.
You don't have to worry about me looking at it.
No.
So
I mean,
go get,
just nutty.
So I got to go give him some of those glasses in case I remember to look up.
You better get those 3D glasses.
We're gonna get some from. I'm going to dry the tile and give me a pair.
Then you may as well stay on down here with us, Mr. Arthur.
It's
going to be interesting.
Yeah. Now, okay.
People, I don't remember this much going on with the one in the past.
That's because
okay.
We're in a time of revelation, information being revealed.
Well,
so that's what that is.
You have to think. That's a good point, Ms. Starr. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
So that's why you have the excitement.
That's the excitement.
Folks looking for some change.
Well, some people are looking for change. Some people reject change. Change is good. And we say change is constant, right?
Yeah.
But
some
but
people are looking to change back.
Yeah, but the good news is, the good news is everybody gets to get the change they want. Them people that you're talking about, you know, that's they were. I mean, that's going to be they were. You. Hey.
Okay.
You know, right. So, you know, they'll get it after a while.
That's true. One can only hope, anyway.
Well, you know, they ain't gonna have no choice. That's all I can say. Because, you know, everybody's
right.
Gonna get it. Life's gonna happen. So they need flow with it, or they can flow against, you know. So if they're going to flow against it, I can't do nothing about that. They'll eventually come on at some point. So.
Right. Well, they always do. I mean, that's the constant, the perpetual story is those of us moving into the future, looking for progress, are always dragging the slow ones, kicking and screaming behind us. Mm-hmm. It eventually does end up that way, no matter what, because you can't stay stagnant and you can't just keep going backwards. We never do. We never can. It's just part of even just biological evolution. We're bound to progress.
Well, I think folks become more conscious of the fact that, you know, like say, earlier, when they be like, when they fight terrorism in Africa, ain't no Africans going to come over here and do nothing. Right? And so that's just
right.
Game.
Right.
I'm sorry, Mr. Arthur. May I interrupt for a second? Miss Rihanna, Mr. Tyler just called me on my other phone, and he's getting ready to dial in now. And it's going to be that 515
Wonderful.
Number.
Wonderful.
Okay.
I'll open
right.
it as soon as he gets
go
on.
Ahead. Yes, ma'am. But go ahead, Mr. Arthur. I'm sorry.
Yes, what I'm just saying is that, you know, like, when they say American interests, you need to think corporation.
Okay.
Corporation. You know, we have all wrong stuff, and we got it all. That's corporation. You know what I mean? That's a multinational thing that, you know, that just gets over left and right. So basically, so the people need to understand, you know, say American interests, they talking about big business. They ain't talking about you.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. You're talking about me.
Exactly.
Well. They'll be talking about us in the next few months because we're going to become big business. How about that?
Right.
Well, you know.
I see where you're headed.
I mean, I know you're going to be big business, but you ain't going to be big. You ain't going to be big business.
No, don't think that way with me.
No.
Just don't do it.
Because if you multinational, you turn to a multinational only, so then I have to go, oh, man.
I'm here, guys. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
There's that Mr. Tyler Campbell. Greetings,
welcome.
Mr. Tyler Campbell. Welcome to Marvelous Monday. We're glad
you
finally came
much.
In. Yes. So,
yes.
Tyler, before you introduce yourself to Marvelous Monday, we'll have our two co-hosts, our two other hosts, to introduce themselves. We'll start with Miss Rihanna. Miss Rihanna.
Welcome. I am Rihanna. I live in Kentucky. I'm from Dallas. I consider Dr. McKellar to be my mother, and I'm just here for the ride, and I'm happy to have you on.
How you doing? My name is Arthur Fleming. I'm one of your dad's contemporaries. Remember when he was in school? I remember when he played football for Bum Phillips and a son of a bum, his son. So I wish he'd had a better. I got to say, you know. Hey, there was a guy on earlier. Person, I told him, I said, "No, that don't sound like Texan."
Okay, so Tyler, go ahead and introduce yourself. My fraternity brother is a funny kind of guy, and you'll get to
I
see that and know
that. I can feel his energy through the phone, and I love it.
That's right.
Okay. My name is Tyler Campbell. I am an inspirational speaker, Amazon best-selling author, and a multiple sclerosis ambassador. Oh, that's my title.
Wow. Would you like to share with us why you're a multiple sclerosis ambassador?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us your story, please.
Yeah, and I'll be brief because I know we got many voices over the airwaves. But
That's right.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 21 years old at San Diego State University while I was on a football scholarship. And, you know, it was not something it came out of nowhere. Little to my knowledge, I became the first person to ever play Division I college football with MS. That is only by the grace of God and God alone. As a black man, more importantly, as a black man diagnosed with MS, I never found anybody else I could speak to about the disease. When I opened up pamphlets, when I went to neurologist's office, all I saw were people who did not look like me. They were white people. And from that moment on, I said, I've got to be visible. I won't be the last one diagnosed. There are going to be more brothers, unfortunately, who do get diagnosed. And when they come to get their diagnosis, I want them to find my story so they can say, that brother looks like me. And because he is, that means that I can. And so we talk about our culture, and I've always looked for a way to give back for my people, to be supportive of my people. What is that thing that I could do that gives me great pride and makes me feel like I'm one with my people? And my disease is that for me. I'm not saying that that's what it should be for everybody. I hope that it doesn't take a sickness or an ailment or a travesty for you to, you know, get closer to your culture. But for me, that's what MS is. And I hope the disease gets cured. But until it does, I will keep being visible, and I will keep being an outlet, especially for Black men who are newly diagnosed.
That's beautiful, beautiful. Tyler, let me share with you guys that Tyler is, he's so amazing. I mean, when he speaks, people are captivated by his voice and by his message. I mean, he is so full of life and looks amazing. You would never think he's ever had a sick day in his life because, number one, he takes great care of himself. And by the way, Tyler, did you have the new baby yet?
Yeah, Adonis Campbell is here. He's been around for 2 months. So
there you go.
He and mom are doing well. He and mom are doing great.
Wonderful. Outstanding. Well, I knew the baby was coming. Yes, congratulations. And this is number three for Tyler. And,
number four.
Oh, that's right. I already had three. See there, I
hey,
love
no,
it.
No more. I keep closed. I have my said no December. More. I'm done.
He's having done. I'm done.
Yeah,
but,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought, Mr. Campbell. Now I'm 46 with a 3-year-old.
Yeah. 3-year-old. Time goes by so fast. Oh my God. That babe, my grandbaby is 3 years. Oh, my goodness, I can't keep up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, Tyler, tell us about your, as he mentioned, is a motivational speaker, and I'm mesmerized by sitting and listening to him. Let me tell you, he. Out in there, and let me tell you, from the time he stepped up on that stage to the time that he finished, people were mesmerized by his message. So whatever it is that you want all of our listeners across this country to know about you, Tyler, and then we want to talk about your radio show and what we're working toward helping you with right now. So it's your show. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm no different than so many people. You know, Shirley talked about, you know, being able to see me on stage. I am an introvert by nature. That's how I started out. So getting on stage and talking in front of people, that's not what I wanted my life to be. And I tell people all the time, you know, continue to be open. A lot of times things don't work out the way that we draw them up, but I tell people it's always hard to see the picture when you're standing in the frame. My voice has captivated me, and that's what allowed me to become a multiple sclerosis ambassador. I did not know what that even meant, but because I gave a speech at a convention, again, visibility and transparency for people of color with MS, that thrusted me into a role of entrepreneurship, servitude, and just it took my life in a direction that I never thought it would be. I come from a lineage of football players. You know what I mean? I thought that the sport was what defined me, and at the same time, the disease is what propelled me. And so I ask people to just continue to be open for what life has for you. And when one door closes in your life, That just means another one is going to open. The question is, when it opens, will you be willing enough to just walk through it? And everybody, all I've been doing is just walking. The man up above told me to write a book. I never would have thought I'd be writing books. When COVID happened, y'all, I lost family members like you did.
Yes.
And the man up above literally just said, if I took your life today, what will you leave for your wife and your kids? Not monetary, not like, what will you leave? And I was charged to leave my words because I never wanted my wife to not remember how her husband felt about her and for my children to understand their dad's journey and to know how much he loved them. So I was told I wrote a book in the pandemic largely because I was losing the family members that I loved, and I said, well, if my soul is gone, I've got to leave something for my children. And I left them my words. I did not have marketing around my book. It was a project that I literally did for my family and the multiple sclerosis community. They ate it up. The sports world got behind it, and it became an Amazon bestseller. It was on the Amazon bestsellers list for 15 straight weeks.
Yes.
So for me, I am literally, I'm just a person who has been open, and my word of encouragement for everybody who's had closed doors in their life is be open to the door of opportunity that's coming in your direction. And no, it doesn't look like how you dreamed it up. No, I'm not playing football anymore. No, I'm not following in my father's footsteps. None of that is it. But there's a new trail of life that was blazed for me when the door of football closed. And so walk through your doors.
Yes.
Please, we need you to walk through your doors.
Wow. That's powerful. Is that powerful, guys? I mean, every time I hear Tyler, it brings tears to my eyes, and it takes – and I'm not – Tyler, they can tell you I'm not a choir, right? But this is so –
Mama says you're not. Mama says you're not.
No. By the way, his mother's my sorority sister as well. But – and so that means a sorority sister. But, I mean, just to hear his testimony, a lot of people need to hear his testimony. So – Tyler, go ahead and tell us about your radio show.
Yeah, so we're piggybacking off it and just walking through doors, right? Here in Austin, which is the area that my radio show is, a sports network had reached out 3 years ago for me. They saw the work that I was doing in community, again, just using a gift to speak as a means of service. People talk about the community. People talk about our young people. So what I had started to do years ago was I just started phoning up schools and asking them or telling them how important it would be for some students to see a black male on campus giving back. And that led to doors opening up in school systems. And so a radio station had called me and they said, well, somebody's show was getting canceled. And they said, we need a quick fill-in. Would you mind coming in to fill in? And I said, well, I don't know anything about radio. I don't know anything about segments. I don't know clocks. But if you get somebody to work the board, I can speak. You just got to tell me when to shut up and go to commercial break. And so I ended up getting there. I titled my show Real Life, Real Talk because that's what I define myself as. A mentor of mine by the name of Rodney Page, who we did some work together in the alternative school system. And whenever we would get young men in the circle, we always engaged in real life, real talk. And so that's how the show came to be. And an opportunity that came my way, a door that came my way, I just walked through it. And I was on radio for three years. Then that network closed down. And then 102.7 here in Austin, ESPN, they called me. And they said, Tyler, you know, we want you to come and have a full position over at our network. And I said, okay, and now that I know more about radio, you see, sometimes it's just meant for you to be experienced and so you can receive a greater blessing in the long run. When I got into radio, y'all, I didn't know any much. I didn't know much about sponsors. I didn't know much about airtime and things of that nature. I just got on the microphone and talked for an hour, and that was it. But 102.7 granted me the opportunity to expand, and I told them my dream was always to see what Steve Harvey had done. I read a lot of books. I'm a fan of entrepreneurs, and knowing how Steve Harvey's show was always syndicated, which means it had to start somewhere, and then it would get syndicated from there. And so my goal for Real Life Real Talk was for it to be syndicated, and that's what I'm trying to do in the city of Tyler, with going back to, I believe, the ESPN network that's in Tyler, and begin a syndication, and then from there, San Antonio, El Paso, all places that I've always had a foothold in from speaking, places where I've served my time. Now I know that I have a message. I've been doing radio for over 3 years. I know what to do. I know how to plug and play. I know how to give sponsors their just due. And so now the experience has paid off, and now I can embark on my dream. You know, so my dream for my show, which is an inspirational radio show. Listen to me, y'all. I am on a sports network, and I talk nothing but inspiration. Couldn't be nobody else but the man up above, because by trade, what I am doing is different than any other show. And every station I have been through, I've been the number one show on the weekends at that station. So I know there's a need, whether it be male, female, black, white, green, yellow, or purple. We all need something of encouragement. We all need to be inspired. And it is my mission, with my disability, that just means that I have to do something differently. And now that I've gotten comfortable doing things differently with MS, yo, God is blessing me with an opportunity. So those are the words that I get conveyed on the radio station. I use inspirational topics. I use various words of the week. And I help people through my own transparency of my trials and tribulations as a host, help people feel encouraged and inspired for 1 hour. And that's what Real Life, Real Talk is all about.
All right. And tell us, Tyler, when you come on and what you're looking for now as far as sponsorships are concerned. And, I mean, and let's think about it, guys. Who would have thought that on ESPN, and what is ESPN really all about? Who would have thought that he would be doing an inspirational on ESPN?
Very cool.
No. Yeah, no.
That kind of thing is needed. But go right ahead, Tyler. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's just it. And I think that's everything that we've been talking about tonight, right? It doesn't look, in all honesty, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't even make real sense that an inspirational show is leading the way on the weekends on the sports network. But that's the door. We just walk through it. Don't be scared because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't always have to make sense. Sometimes you just gotta follow through. And for me, I come on at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time every Saturday. Come hell, come high water, I will be over the airwaves. And for me, it's about, I can tell the stations, I say, man, there's a need. You know, we talk about what our young people need. We talk about us. We've all been hurt. We've all lived through COVID. You know, none of us are the same as we once were. COVID changed our lives. We are all still healing. I talk about my trials, my tribulations in marriage. I talk about being told, not being able to have children. I utilize, you know, my life and different things, comparing them with real people and their lives in time. I've talked about Russell Wilson and Ciara on my radio show just the other week. So it's about utilizing real life topics to convey to people, just to say, yes, I can. I am not alone. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to gather a total of 4 sponsors at a total for each sponsor, $125 a week. That equates to $500 within a month if you are looking to be a sponsor. That includes spots that I will run for you in the city that we get syndicated in, for example, in Tyler, and being able to pub your business. And I tell people all the time, the beautiful thing about radio is even with syndication, that means I can come to Tyler and do a live show from Tyler.
That's
that
right.
Means I can have a sponsor, if you agree, to join me in the booth so we can talk about your business. It's about the utilization of words to help. I was taught by my grandma to lift as we climbed. And I'm climbing. So what good is it to climb if my fellow brothers and sisters ain't able to eat off the same plate?
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. What good
is it?
We climb together. That's what it's supposed to be about. And that's the goal. That's the dream. And I don't even want to say goal and dream because it's going to happen. And I already believe that that's going to happen.
Sure. Okay. Any questions? Anybody? Ms. Rihanna, you have any questions of Tyler? Because I was looking at finding those four sponsors and collaborating. And one time that this business can be featured, and next time this business can be featured. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking on our own radio network, how we can move our own network to the next level. And because we've been doing, Tyler, we've been doing radio for a long time.
Oh, you know,
even
I did
on
my
this
homework.
Network.
You know, I did my homework.
Yeah.
You
did your homework. As a matter of fact, I'll share this with you that in 2022, I was inducted into the National Black Radio Hall of Fame and got my accommodations from the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Oh,
and so,
wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Because we walked through doors that we didn't know that they were there. I mean, walked mm-hmm. through that door of being inducted into the National Black Radio Hall of Fame, had no idea that I would be getting accommodations from the President of the United States and got
my
his
God.
Silver Star for my volunteerism and work in the community. So, Ms. Rihanna, go ahead. I don't know if you have any questions that you have of Tyler or just comments, and then we'll go to Mr. Arthur.
Thanks for waiting for a minute.
Miss Rihanna, unmute. I don't know if she's still on
now.
She may have had to step. Go ahead, Mr. Arthur.
Yeah, she's going to take care of a call for a minute.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Hey, Edgar, I want to ask you something. Then you say you look for advertisers. And I'm about to leave my last Earl Campbell link in there.
You know he's terrible, okay?
I love it, Mr. Arthur. You a winner with me, man. Mr. Arthur got it going on. You hear me?
Mr. Arthur is amazing, I'm telling you.
What I'm saying is I'm recommending that Earth Camel Link be one of your advertisers down in Tyler.
Hey, and you know that's my lead sponsor down here in Austin, baby. They sponsor the first segment of the show. You know
of
I got
course,
that.
Of course he did.
Yeah, right. You got to listen to the show. They're the first sponsor. Listen to the show every time.
It starts right at home, right? Then it spreads out,
yep,
right?
It starts right there. I'm right there with you, Mr. Austin. You're right. They are a part of it. You hear me?
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, we want to spread out across Texas for not even just Texas, but we start right here at home, right? We can start in Texas and then in East Texas because his roots, though he wasn't born here, but his roots hails from East Texas. They know the name. People know the name. And so,
I'm selfish, y'all. I want Reverend Collins at Hopewell Baptist Church to be able to listen to me. I want my Aunt Margaret.
Right.
I want my Aunt Rita. I want
that's
all the people
it.
In my family. If you really want to know why
right.
I'm spearheaded, it's because my family for so long they say, you know, Tyler, we're not with all that technology stuff. We love to support you, but you all the way down there. And so for me, it's my duty to put forth an opportunity for my family to hear me. Like I said, man, Mr. Arthur, you hit the nail on the head. I started with the home base, and you better believe my next stop is Tyler, Texas. That's the next stop.
Exactly. And just think about that the churches would the church would have their chests out there because they're on advertising on ESPN, right?
Mm-hmm.
The gospel needs to go out into the world, right? And that what it tells us.
Yes.
Take it to.
Yep.
Sure, can I ask you? I got a. No, you got 10 people in Nebraska, right?
Correct.
In Nebraska. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and then so you're related to the Campbells. Now I know some Campbells from Nebraska. That's also here in Texas. I wonder if y'all related.
If they're in Omaha, there's some that came from out in that Hopewell community that moved to Omaha, Nebraska.
We have family in Nebraska. Yeah. We do have family. Mm-hmm. They've been coming to the reunion ever since.
That's right.
Matter of fact, one of the young ladies is even for the singer Monica. She is one of the publicists for the singer Monica down there in Atlanta, Georgia. I do have family and I do stay connected. Campbells and Brewers.
Very good.
Is the other name.
Yes. Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Yep.
And even in Atlanta, we got lots of people from Tyler, Texas that moved down to Atlanta. So yeah, spread deep.
Well, I'm gonna do a little more research after that. I think I know one of y'all relatives. But I'm going to find out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you probably do. Well, I tell you, Tyler, I want to see you syndicated. The fly jock, what's his name? Out of Dallas, that flew from Dallas to Chicago. Tom Joyner.
Steve Harvey, yeah.
And then... Ricky Smiley.
Smiley.
Those guys are everywhere, right? They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Tyler, they had a beginning. They started just like you started, just like we started. They started from the beginning, one little right there on radio, and then they spread abroad. And so message, and here's what I also would like to say. The multiple sclerosis organization, we need to get information over to them. I have a local chapter of MS here in this city, but we can put our letter together and get it out to the MS. You need to be the spokesperson for MS, I'm going to tell you, so you can be that voice to show people that you don't have to just settle for anything. You can work toward being a productive person, even with MS. Talk to us a little bit more, Tyler, about the fact of, and his book, I couldn't put his book down until I finished it, but playing football with MS and not anybody know that he had it. How in the world did you pull that off? Go ahead, talk to us.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, I feel like that's, you know, I still to this day, I blame myself so much for that. So again, I think, you know, the first thing was I made a commitment, meaning I signed a contract when I got to San Diego State University. I signed scholarship papers. Those scholarship papers say that, you know, in long story short, that you're going to give your body, you know, to this game. And at the same time, you're also going to walk out with a 4-year degree. And when you do those things, your university, what you're doing is you're opening up a scholarship for the next person trying to come on the team when you graduate. So for me, commitment was a word that was very, very high in my household. My mother, my father valued commitment.
Yes.
And when you signed up for something, you finished it. And so those were the words that I held on to. I said, I have to finish. I have to finish, not just for me, but so another kid can get a scholarship so that he can do better for his family. Mind you, I come from watching what getting a degree from my father did for our entire family on the Campbell house, on the Campbell side of it. Because one man went to college, it changed the trajectory of all the cousins coming up after my dad. You got doctors. You got lawyers. You got all because one person, right? I never forgot that. I knew that I had to keep going, and I had to figure it out because there's a generation that I may not even know, but they're going to need the, you know, this degree or this story, right? So I was very blind. I didn't. Everybody's like, you just knew what you were doing. I had no idea. I just knew I made a commitment, ma'am, and I had to honor that commitment. Now afterwards, the accolades and all this, the news and all, when people got a story, I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, I just knew that I didn't want to stop playing football. I just knew that I had to kind of figure it out. I'm in my late 30s now, and of course I see a therapist every couple of weeks because I'm still walking through and healing from the traumatic experiences of silence and dealing with the disease during that time. So I am healing from those things, but again, I did that only because I knew I had to honor my commitment, and that's what it was for me. It's nothing eloquent, nothing beautiful. For me, it was about honoring a commitment. I promised my mother I would get a degree. I promised my father I would get a degree when I left Texas. My mama told me, she said, don't come back here unless you have your degree. And that's what she told me when I left school at 17 years old. She told me that. Don't come back unless you have your degree.
Now, isn't that's a remarkable, I'm going to tell you why, is because I think that about every black family in this country, especially in East Texas, especially in Tyler, Texas, that our parents said to us, Tyler, it's not if you're going to college. It's where
mm-hmm.
you're
where
going
are
to
you
college,
going? Mm-hmm.
and you're
yep.
not coming back without a piece of paper that says
mm-hmm.
you completed your degree. That's very prevalent. Is that right, Mr. Arthur? Go ahead and start.
Well, to come from a sharecropper perspective, you know, we just want to make mama, just want to make them proud. That's what we were trying to do. You know what I mean? We just want to make them proud. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. So, you know, again, like I said, we had the opportunities to go to school. You know, and get degrees, just like you said. Like my cousin, he went first, and so from there, you know, he plays alpha, and you know, so after that, it was on. So now, like he said, we got doctors, we got lawyers, we got
educators.
Like I said, but again,
nurses.
You know, demarcation line, like his dad was at University of Texas. Okay, that was demarcation line. That's from like 65 on, you know, folks were able to go to black folks were able to go to college more and to different colleges. And so that opened up a lot of opportunity for that generation. But the generation before that, the numbers weren't there because they didn't have opportunity. So, you know,
Right. And let's talk a little bit then, since Ms. Arthur brought that up, Tyler, a little bit about our HBCUs, our historical black colleges. I'm going to share with you. You probably don't know much about this, but there is a place in this town, Tyler, called Butler College. College was an HBCU that, first of all, my grandfather, his name was Mitchell Irwin. My grandfather not only helped to build Butler College, after he helped to build Butler College, then he went to Butler College and became one of the first graduates of Butler College. After he finished becoming a graduate of Butler College, then he went back to teach. And let me share this with you also, that my aunt and my mother, those people, they could go to Butler College for one semester or two semesters, and then they could come back and they could teach in the predominantly black schools, because it didn't matter. They didn't care whether that our people had a degree or not have a degree. But they were able to go into our schools, the black schools, back in the day, this is post-slavery, of course, and teach young minds, and that's how our historical black colleges actually came into existence. Our people worked to build them from the churches. The churches actually were like Texas College here, where we know that's a church-run school. So people will say today, why do we still need HBCUs? Well, we still need them. Well, let me ask that question. Why do you gentlemen think that we still need HBCUs? Tyler, do you have any comments in regards to that?
I'm envious. And the reason being is because I have friends, right? I have brothers who friends of mine who went to HBCUs, and the ability to be in an environment where the leadership looks like you. The individual teaching the class that has multiple degrees. They look like you. And the environment, they look like you. Whereas when I was at a predominantly white university, I grew up around a predominantly white neighborhood. When I got to college, that was the first time I ever had a black teacher, a black professor, an Africana studies class. And I talked about that in my book. But there is something that comes across you as a person of color. Whenever you are able to be exposed into an environment where you are celebrated for who you are, where your thought process is encouraged, where your understanding of why things are the way that they are, or you get an understanding of history. And I think that was the other thing was when I talked to the my brothers who graduated from HBCUs, there is a love, admiration, and respect for the history of what they come from. And that wasn't really necessary my truth going to a predominantly white university. So I'm going to tell you this. My wife and I went to San Diego State University. My wife is a first-generation college student out of Oakland, California. Okay. She's the first one to get her master's, all of that. We look at each other, and as athletes, you know, being the few minorities, you wish it was the opposite. So now we have children, right? We've taken our children. My oldest loves Dr. King. My oldest wants to be a Morehouse man. He wants to be a Morehouse man. So we've taken our children to Spelman. We've taken our children to Morehouse. We've taken our children to Southern. We've gone to TSU. I can't dictate it, but we are trying with the hopes that our children will choose an HBCU university at the end because of there's an atmosphere that they would be exposed to that we wished we could have got, but we never got a chance to experience. And for that is why I feel like we need our HBCUs because there's a love there. That isn't necessarily offered by other institutions. No disrespect to other institutions. I went to a different institution, but I just feel like as a person of color, as a black man or black woman, there's a sense of love that comes from those institutions that aren't given anywhere else.
I totally 100%. I went to all PWUs, but I am a strong proponent of HBCUs, Texas College, Jarvis Christian College, Wiley. We got three HBCUs in our area within a 50-mile radius of each other. Mm-hmm. I'm a strong proponent of it. I donate to Southwestern Christian College all of my life. So I grew up going there because I am Church of Christ. I grew up going there to Terrell, Texas, to all of the lectureships and all that my mother carried us to, but never even thought about going to it. An HBCU. Never thought about it. I don't know why. Because my background was Butler College. And I'm sure you've heard of Butler College before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard
ma'am.
That term before?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
That was a college, and that's where my ancestors went. They attended. Go ahead, Mr. Arthur. I know you have some comments.
Yeah. You know, currently, HBCU, because they've been so underfunded, they estimate that they're $13 billion HBCUs, 16 billion.
Yes.
So Tennessee, they got a controversy in Tennessee right now where Tennessee put a squeeze on to try to get the money so they could fix their schools up. So the legislators have responded by taking over the university. Because they said, okay, we're gonna give y'all this money, then we're gonna we still gonna be over the money. So it's quite.
And Mr. Arthur, wasn't that land there, that Tennessee State? Wasn't the land that they're trying to build off of some land that's actually their land, and they're not able to do so or something like that? Go ahead, sir.
Tennessee State. And Tennessee State has been a battleground forever, but that's a big move. And it's a lot of academics, and including myself. It's time for our civil rights organization to step up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a takeover. And we're already not being educated in those institutions to educate ourselves in the freedom. You know, they're using HBCUs like a farm team, right? I remember when I was in college, because I went to Texas A&M Commerce, which is what we call it now. And like most of us, we were always upset because nobody tried to help us get a job when we got ready to leave. Well, so what was going on was actually, they wasn't doing that because the corporations, when they wanted black talent, they went to black schools.
Mm-hmm.
So HBC, became kind of like a corporate farm team. And so, I think we're trying to educate ourselves out of that now, but, we have to take control of, the philosophy of these schools. Those curriculums that's been there by Carnegie and those type folks a long time ago, that's a whole program. So we got to do some deprogramming and start educate ourselves to our freedom, because the way it's set up, we're just a farm team, AAA baseball team.
Wow, that's perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, I want to do everything that I can, my little bit, and then I encourage people to donate, give back once you leave your university. And like I said, I never attended an HBCU, but I donate to them. And so certainly people who actually attended and should give back to their alumni, right? We got to do what we need to do in order to keep the doors open of our. We've had, I don't know if you guys know this or not, I'm sure you do, of the ones, we only have 102 HBCUs that are left in this country. We've lost out. We talked about one of the colleges, one of the Lincoln University locations that closed, I believe it was in 22. Go ahead, Mr. Arthur. You were about to say something, I think.
Yeah, how about that lady that killed herself? What school was that she was at? That professor was it Lincoln? Yeah, I think it was.
Was it Lincoln? I think
you hear about that? Yeah, so I'm saying that HBCU, they see that with the change of dynamic, what's going on? These people of power, they're basically trying to take over. As many by institutions as they can, and that's the ground right there. That's where the freedom's at. Our HBCU. So now if they don't start trying to do a little jig, I think Tennessee trying to show, this is how to do this. Not only are we not going to get on the same base, but if we do get it wrong, we're going to take it.
Right.
So we're gonna fight y'all. Hey.
Yeah, it's a serious matter. Well, Tyler, tell us, let's go back to the sponsorships that you're looking for. Now, that is $500 per month. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's it, $500 for a month. Yes, ma'am.
And so we're looking for at least four sponsors to come together for that. To put together that $500 per month in order to sponsor your show, and then you could, and you're on every Saturday, right?
Every Saturday,
month, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Four times. I am committed to it. It is my. It is another reason for being for me, And so that's my time, Saturdays from 10 to 11 Central Standard
sure.
Time.
And tell us how we can tune in to listen to your show.
Yeah, absolutely. So as of right now, if you go to if you have your app, I know everybody has app phones and apps and everything
yes,
like that.
Yes. Yes.
Go the show the Motherhood Network is ESPN 102.7 here in Austin. 102.7 ESPN. You can download the app. Also, if you don't tune in live, that's okay. If you go to SoundCloud,
SoundCloud.
And look me up. As Tyler Campbell, you will find me there, and I post
right.
every episode on SoundCloud within 30 minutes of the show ending, and you can play
okay.
the episodes back as you want. Also, when you go to my SoundCloud, you'll also see 3 years worth of radio. If you want to go back
yes.
and see if the sound is consistent, you can always go back and listen to episodes shows from years ago. And just, in terms of consistency. So that's how you can find the show.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I like it. I like it. I listened to some of Tyler's shows, and I'm going to put them on our network so that people can tune in and listen. And I'll put it on our chat so that our co-host, we actually have, as Ms. Rihanna mentioned to you, she's out of Kentucky. As one of our hosts, and Mr. Arthur is actually out of Dallas, and then we have we have Pastor Michael Cooper, who's out of Beaumont, Texas, and then we have Dr. Richard Hagney, who actually is here locally in the Tyler area, and then we have a Dr. Odell Carr, who is also an author. He's off of the show a little bit simply because he is running for state representative of the state of Arkansas. He lives in El Dorado, Arkansas. So because he's doing some campaigning and speaking, and of course Pastor Cooper is always very, very busy with his work. And so usually you have a team of us that are on, mm-hmm. and we've been on for a very, very long time. We're actually Blog Talk USA Radio, headquartered out of Houston, Texas. And so anyways, we'll make sure that your information gets out there, because we'll discuss whether we want to take a look at being part of your sponsorship maybe for a bit. We'll see a couple of 3 months. We'll see what we can talk about, and then we'll certainly get back to you on that, and then we'll be looking for people, because I like the fact of what you're talking about. My Thursday show is being sponsored by one of the political parties here in the city.
Awesome.
I'm on one of the local networks, local station KGLD 1330 AM and 104.9 FM, and and so we have a couple people that sponsor that show on Thursday. That's Thursday midday. And so I wanted to feature you on that as well, because we got massive amounts of listeners for that Thursday show that's right here in Tyler, in comparison to our Monday night show is all across the nation, everywhere. We even have military installations, people listening anywhere, everywhere, like I said. And so that's what we can say that we'll discuss and talk about, and then we'll make sure that other people know by just picking up the telephone call some of the churches, because like I said, you mentioned that, and that's an excellent because churches broadcast their messages every day. As a matter of fact, 1330 AM is actually the gospel side of the network that I'm on Thursday, and then 104.9 is the other side of it. So those are people that we will be talking to about the work that you're doing with multiple stations.
I'm so thankful.
And I'm going to tell you, with your method and what you put together, I would have my letter put together and sent out to the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation pronto. Mr. Arthur, do you know if there's an office located there in the Dallas area? Because you don't hear much about it. It's kind of like sickle cell anemia, you don't hear very much. And now we're really pushing and working hard. We're having a lot of blood drives and stuff because a lot of, as you know, people of color, black people in particular, who are diagnosed with sickle cell anemia. So we're having that. And now we're bringing it to the forefront. And so, therefore, you see more people involved with sickle cell now than ever before here in our city. So we need to put that letter together and get it out there to the MS Foundation. Not only do they have lots of money, but they work hard to get their message out. And so we'll be talking to you about that off air about that. I think that's a great way for us to get going on that. Mr. Arthur, do you know if there is an office, an MS office there in the city of Dallas?
I'm sure there is. They have. I see from TV up here about MS, but like you said, I don't. You know, that's one of those. Look at what percentage of black people have MS. I remember, Lola Falana. I think she had MS.
Lola Falana was the first person that, and then what's the gentleman's name?
Montel Williams.
Yes, Montel Williams and Lola Falana. Lola Falana was the first person I think I ever, and I'm in the medical profession. I believe she was the first black person that I ever heard talking about it. And look how progressive she was, and how she could. And look at Montel Williams, you know, and everything. Then he was the gentleman that we heard about it. Have you ever reached out to him, Tyler?
Yeah, so I had a vision when I was diagnosed. I said, one day I'm gonna meet Montel Williams, and I'm gonna tell him thank you because I'm gonna tell him he was the only. When I saw him talking about MS, he had a smile on his face, and in my toughest of times, I thought if this black man can find a reason to smile with his MS, I can too. And so last summer, we were able to do a podcast together. And it was a visual Zoom together, and he was just a joy to be able to talk to. I almost cried. I said, man, my grandmother would say, now Tyler, we gonna watch Jerry Springer, but then after we watch Jerry Springer, we gonna get saved and watch Montel. And so
that's
how my grandma, you know, because that was daytime television back in the day, you know, talk shows. So I told him that. But yeah, I finally got a chance to meet him, and it was a joy to make a connection.
That's outstanding. Well, I'm looking right now, and there is a very large office there in the Houston area. Okay, so North Texas, Mr. Arthur is in Farmers Branch. On Valley View Lane is where that one is. And then there's one in San Antonio, Lubbock. And then, of course, in Houston, the very large office there on Post Oak Road, we know where that is. And then the National MS Society is in Illinois, Carroll Stream, Illinois. So, and then there's even more. So then there's the 800 number. We're going to put a letter together and send out to see, because I'm looking to see if there's very much advertisement about it. And Tyler, you may be able to answer that for us, if there is much advertisement about it.
I think you still, you know, you put the nail on the head. I know for me, I can actually, I can look, you know, I can look up the offices. And I can look up the support groups by city, knowing where they are and who could be involved, and if there is an interest to support, in going that route. You know, you'll never know until you open up the door.
Until you try.
I think that's very important. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. There's a very, very large one in, you know, where Carpus Cove is. That's right outside. I was stationed at Killeen three times, and so Carpus Cove is right out there, and that's going in your direction. They meet every third Monday, from 6 until 8 o'clock. So it's interesting. Okay, Tyler. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and we'll keep repeating this and letting people know. Go and take care of your family and enjoy your evening. Give a hug to those children for us, and keep up the great work. We appreciate you,
thank you for coming on and being with us.
Love
you guys, and it's an honor. And I know this is just the beginning. I know this is just the beginning.
There you go. We'll talk very soon.
I was good to hear a young man that have found his purpose. So just know that, you know, once you find your purpose, it's going to grow. It ain't going to stay for that right there, what you got right now. It's going to.
That's right. God bless you. We'll talk to you very soon. Hope to see you when you come for Easter.
All right. I'll be calling you.
All right, Ben. All right. God bless. Take care, my friend.
Bye.
Bye for now. Okay, Mr. Arthur. So, goodness. Well, I'm always inspired when I hear that young man's message. So, and like you said, Mr. Arthur, that was beautiful. We're happy that he found his niche, because can you imagine? And I can't. We know how rugged the sport of football is, right? We know, don't we?
Can you
imagine playing football with newly diagnosed with MS?
Yeah,
I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, I was over here screaming thinking about it. I want to ask him, did it hurt when he got hit? But I don't want to be rude. That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Now, I mean, I don't know if it would be in pain while he was.
The book talks a little bit about it's titled Game Over.
Mm-hmm.
I believe was the title, but he didn't talk a lot about the pain element. He talked about a lot about his working toward keeping it silent.
Right.
And being able to because think about this, you had to function not only as a football player, you had to function as a student, because he said, I know I could not go back home without getting my degree, right? He had to go back. That was not happening. He was going to take that piece of paper back home with him.
Just like I tell you, just like with us, he just wanted to make mom and them proud, right? To make them proud. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. By every means necessary.
Mm-hmm, yeah, what because he was scared to go back is because he didn't want to disappoint him. So, that's exactly right.
That's it. Well, Mr. Arthur, I was on, somebody just reminded me of this. I early on today when I was moving from one area of the city. This morning we had, actually I'll start out by letting you know that we had graduation, our police department graduation today at the Rose Garden early this morning. So I think we graduated about 35 police officers. And so that was great. And then as I was moving to the next phase, I heard them saying that, let's see, how did they put it, on our 107.3 FM, they said, oh, pastors, hey, how are you doing, pastor? Good, great you could be here. you're just in time, because I was just about to tell Mr. Arthur that I heard that on that network, and I listened to this network, that they had FBI had raided P. Diddy's place, and it was all about sex trafficking. Well, I just put it into our chat. You guys can go ahead and read it. So it said that Pastor Jake said that it wasn't true, but they accused him of sex trafficking. Did you guys hear that? Are you there? Mr. Arthur, are you there? Did I lose
you? Did I say you said it? Well, who they accused of sex trafficking?
P. Diddy.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, I posted that one today. Yeah, I posted that one this morning.
Okay, and they said that T.D. Jake said that had him on his show and said it was not true.
Said what wasn't true? That he didn't...
About him sex trafficking.
Are they accusing T.D. Jake of sex trafficking, too?
No. I said... Somebody just sent me a message, said it's on Fox 11 News. Said the FBI raided Diddy. It said five was at his house. I don't know what five means. I guess five people. I don't know what that means. Sex trafficking. And said T.D. Jakes appeared on his show and stated it was not true about T.D.
Well, with CNN, it's where I got mine at. And they
right,
home
yeah.
Homeland Security was up in it. I said, Homeland Security.
Oh, is that right? Did you hear that too, Pastor Cooper?
Is he on?
Okay,
yeah.
they just unmuted me. There we go.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I was over here talking to myself.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Okay, now start all over again. Miss Rihanna
no,
got
no,
the
I was just saying, I heard that, yes, and... But I didn't hear the part about T.D. Jakes. I just heard that they had the FBI and everything. They think it's minors involved in the sex trafficking.
Exactly.
With Sean P. Diddy, whatever his name is this week.
Right. Surely these guys, I mean, oh, my gosh. What gives? I mean, why? These people make a ton of money, right?
Right. But that's what empowers the disease, and a lot of people, and it is a disease, and it's
that's
mental
exactly
illness.
I like that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It is, and it empowers it, and that's what you got to find out. With money, really, you get to see the person when you have money. It really will reveal the true nature and character of that person, and then at some point they believe they're above the law, just like that guy that's running for president. You think you're above the law? Yeah, that
yes,
guy.
Yes, sir.
And so you get even bigger. So those demonic spirits, and that's what they are, and the mental illness takes over. And matter of fact, they might as well use the word or the name Legion, because Legion spoke about
mm-hmm.
himself. He said, "For we are many,
mm-hmm.
and those
that's
spirits
it.
Are, they multiply." Yeah,
and
just left the men's conference. Just for the moment, with 3 days it was planned, and we had probably 580 men in there, 600 men, and seven young boys came to Christ. Out of the death of three, we got seven saved. So, and it wasn't even about getting them saved. This is about spiritual warfare. People talking about fools and this and that. Listen, it's real, and we have to pray for those in power. We have to pray for those that are celebrities. We have to be careful who our children listen to. Who they follow. I'm one of those nosy parents. I'm going to go into your
I know
DM.
That's right.
I'm going
that's
into
it.
Your bedroom. I'm going
that's
in the
it.
Backyard.
That's it.
I'm going to roll up on
because
you and your friend.
The bedroom belongs to me, right? So, yeah.
It's in my house. It's underneath my
there
roof.
You go. There
it's
you go.
It's underneath my roof. And watch this. And if I'm paying the insurance in the car note, I'm going into the ashtray. I know we don't
there you
have
go.
It, but I'm going into the ashtray, the trunk, the hood,
that's it.
The
that's
fender.
It. That's it.
And guess what? And because I did so, I still have a 30-year-old black man still yet alive and not following P. Diddy. And I had to fight for him because the devil wanted him.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
You got to fight for him.
Yes, sir. You got to fight for your kids.
You
got to
fight
for
them. And when we
yes,
have to
sir.
Be the village and fight for other people's kids, that's why God anointed
exactly.
us with so much. And we have to go back and fight the good fight. And
yes,
we have
sir.
To make sure our kids know more than P. Diddy.
Hmm.
Well, P. Diddy done it.
Sad.
He
did it. Hey, Mike,
but watch this. Hey, Mike. Where there's one, there are 10 more. There are 10 more out there.
Yeah,
R. Kelly and the Pete Diddy.
There you go.
They're out there.
There you go.
And then the thing that no one's really talking about, young women now watch that, and these rappers come along. They're empowered. They're doing some of the same things.
Mm. Yeah.
These women are in those same power, and a lot of people overlook it and say, oh, no, it's no way. No, power empowers those spirits.
Am I speaking away with people?
Yeah.
How's the Phelan campaign going? What's the name? Your congressman. Phelan.
I'm gonna tell you exactly. I'm gonna be Arthur for a minute. He's in trouble because he doesn't know which way to turn. He's afraid to turn to his what you call Republicans. The Republicans, whoever they are.
Who are we talking about?
They feel the Speaker of the House.
Somebody in your area?
He's in District 22, the Speaker of the House. He's in a runoff with this guy named Covey, and he's endorsed by Donald Trump, that guy.
He's
in a runoff. And we've already closed down Dr. Martin Luther King School here in Beaumont, and there are probably about another 10 or 11 schools that have been closed across the state of Texas. And the governor that is presently there right now is talking about vouchers and getting two more votes to get the voucher system passed. And we're closing schools, but yet we're about to lose the Speaker of the House that's against vouchers. He's happened to be an Anglo man that is a Republican that's against vouchers, and that's one reason why they don't like him. They call him a rhino and a Democrat and a liberal.
So we have to make sure that
we get the word out.
How the campaign looking?
Okay. What'd you say, Brother Arthur?
How the campaign looking?
It's an uphill battle.
He's in trouble.
Trouble. But now I heard him. I read some of his stuff, and now he seems pretty confident now. So I don't know. Maybe he made a deal with somebody. But he sounds like the stuff I read on it. Last couple of days, he was sounding upbeat. So you know, I saw him on the news. So
saw him on the news and what?
You know, he said he was confident. You know, he was looking confident.
He better not get too confident. Sound the alarm and get the moving. He better get the moving.
I'm saying is that he may have made a deal with the governor to go along with it. If y'all leave me alone.
No, the governor's endorsed Covey. He's endorsed him. So I'm just telling you because he's trying to get the vouchers and stuff passed, and they all against the vouchers. Matter of fact, in the meeting we just had, I talked about that, and they want to talk about young men and all this stuff. I said, yeah, but you have 115,000 people in this community, and only 15,000 people voted in the last primary election, and you're asking about something that can be changed by having the key people in place. One thing I learned about that movie last night was Shirley Chisholm, mm-hmm. Y'all need to watch it.
Right.
Yes, and Congresswoman Barbara Lee was on there, and she was one of the co-stars, really. And she came out and she spoke, and this is what got my attention. Shirley Chisholm asked her a question. She was 25-year-old radical. She's out there screaming and yelling and shouting, and Shirley asked, say, hey, have you registered to vote? She said, no, I ain't voting. They don't make any difference. That your vote is your voice, your vote is your power, and you get the people in office that you need. So her campaign mattered, although she didn't get the delegates that she needed. She sent a message, and guess who's been in Congress since 1998?
Barbara Lee.
Because of that. So now what Shirley has done, there's several other people that she touched, including my Aunt Deborah that was out there with all those names that she was talking about on this show. With all the Black Panthers and all that, those are the folks that helped put her on point, and that's all folks. So what we have to do is continue to sound the alarm, not be afraid, and pray for people like P. Diddy and Jakes if he's defending that, because where there's smoke, there's usually fire, and FBI don't raid your house for nothing. So we have to make sure that these things are prayed out, smoke is sent, and we move forward on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was inspired by Shirley Chisholm when I was running for Congress. That 1972, that lady did some powerful stuff. That she's the one that said, "Bring that folding chair, right?" I will never forget the struggles that she had, but look where she ended up. I mean, amazing woman. And that's why I say, I still say this, I will not stop saying this until we make some real changes, and that is that they did more with less, and then we have so much more, and we do so much less. We're doing some great work. I hear your doggy.
I know, they're so bad, they fall. I've been gone for about 3 hours, and they are something else.
Go ahead, Ms. Arthur.
That
was a powerful bark, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was Dr. Maya Angelou.
He's trying to tell you something, Pastor Cooper. I don't know what he's trying to tell you.
That was Dr. Maya. That's a girl. That's a girl's voice.
No wonder then. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and let her do whatever she wants to do, let her do it. And bark on, girl, bark on. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, let me just share with you guys quickly that I have my guest in town is Miss Viola Green. She is from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, looking for organizations, 501c3s and R4s, to carry out the work that she wants to see happen in East Texas. We had an amazing meeting tonight. We were dinner at the Prime 102, and we covered some strong territory of things that we need to do to make sure that our children are cared for, and then we're ready for AI. So we're meeting with an organization tomorrow that is strong with AI. And so I think we should, maybe our next show, that we can talk about AI, because it's 9:53 now, so it's almost time for us to leave. But we can begin by saying how we want to take a look at, or whether there are some people that are totally against AI, and then there are some people that embrace it. Because they said that's the direction that we're going. And AI can be good if it's used in a positive way, right?
Well, what I want to talk about is AI in the context of our education system, educating our kids into BI somewhere. Wow, they're going to AI. And so
What did you say, into VI? I'm sorry,
BI, whatever that is. I'm saying AI is a thing that's coming, and our kids who aren't being educated like that, in that direction.
Okay,
you know, they got
I got you. Mm-hmm.
But they're not getting the advanced stuff that I'm sure the more well-heeled financially schools are getting. So I'm saying that, you know, we got parents, y'all need to go start screaming at these school boards, you know, about stuff supposed to have, you know, and see,
Ms. Arthur, and Pastor Cooper as well, do you guys remember when we used to take exams and we wanted to use calculators, and they said, no, you can't use any calculators, and then eventually we started using calculators, right? Remember that? And we can even use slide rules.
Right.
Remember when we can use slide rules? Because
I remember when they wouldn't even give you a scratch sheet of paper to work the problem out.
There you go.
Yeah, we used to have to go back. The only time they gave us that was when we had to go back and prove the problem after we solved the problem and back door into it. That's when we got the scratch sheet of paper.
And now
my kid had a calculator?
I did not have a calculator.
Use calculators. But then later on, they started letting people use calculators, right?
I could not.
No, you can't use a calculator. Yes, now they can use. So that's going to be the same thing with AI. We're going to see some drastic changes in things. Here's what we got to make sure that this happens. We got to make sure that our kids because we want them to get into the STEM programs and medical schools and nursing schools, sociology, psychology, all.
Right.
But they got to know. They got to know how to do the calculus and the algebra.
Statistics.
There you go. Statistics. When I went back to school to get my degree in my political sciences, and so they said, "Oh, well, statistics is on your it's on your curriculum." And I said, "I already had statistics." They said, "Do you know how long ago that was? I had to take that boy all over again."
At the master's level, I had to take it. I had to take it.
Hey, you better know it. You better know it. You better believe. I took it at the bachelor's level for my political science. I took it there and then
right.
at the master's level as well.
Told the kids I was teaching about technology that was coming. I said, what you have to, because AI is about making decisions. It's about decision making. So what I'm telling them is that you need to be able to take technology and adapt it to who you are. If you can learn like that, then you can do just about anything you want. So just typically, I took statistics and calculus, and so forth.
Right.
But
to
use this technology, it's good to have that expanding stuff. But it's a new kind of way of doing. It's kind of like women for them. So I'm saying, I'm trying to get them to say, hey, look, use it as an attachment.
Well, I tell you this much. The way that my grandchildren are learning to solve problems is not the way I learned. There's that new way of doing math. And it's the easy way.
We never had a math.
Quick way.
I had to study myself just fast because, stuff they were doing in junior high. That's college stuff we were doing. They're doing it junior high.
Of course.
So I'm going.
Yep. Well, so we got to make sure. I'm going to tell you, we got to put together some after-school programs. I remember when I had my school, my academy, we were open to 12 midnight. Why? Because they wanted us to stay open 24 hours because we had medical personnel. We were right near the hospital. So the bulk of the people that worked that second shift, those medical people, we had an after-school training program. We worked at whatever their homework was when they came into our center. That's what we worked on. And then after we finished working on their homework and then getting them their dinner and then giving them a snack after dinner and then giving them their shower, their bath, when the parents came to pick them up off at 11 o'clock. There you go. They got the pajamas on. Now we got to get Pastor, we got to make sure that these children are cared. I think about these CWOC children, the children without placement, and in these facilities. And now I know that our friend is working on the foster homes and all of that stuff, but they're trying to get rid of those. What I was trying to explain to her when she said to me, the kids don't need to be in group homes. They don't need, but it's not a one and done, right? There's bad stuff going on in foster homes. We have removed many kids out of foster homes because all they want is the money. And I'm not talking about all foster. I'm talking about some of these that are not treating these children right. So we have to move children out of foster homes and put them in group homes. And sometimes they end up right back in the homes where they were abused and sexually abused and misused. Right. Because there was not enough places, group homes or whatever, to place these kids, and not enough foster care people who really care about these children. You have to really care about these children. And then one of the programs that, right. Well, let me share this with you as well, that one of the programs that my sorority works on is that we make sure that kids who are aged out of foster care are prepared to take off to go to college. So we help them to fill out their paperwork. We help them to get grants. We help them to get scholarships, and we find all those things. And then not only that, let me tell you what else we do. We buy them things to fix up their dorms with, the blankets, their comforters, the pillows, the sheets, the whatever, clothes, whatever they need to take off to go to college. It takes all of us as a village working together to make sure these children are cared for. Okay, I guess we got to go by now.
There you go. You're on it, though.
Mr. Arthur says, thank you. Mr. Arthur says past 10, so it's 10:02, and Ms. Rihanna is ready to end. So thank you, Pastor Cooper. Glad you were able to come on. And we keep working for the greater good of mankind, and that's all mankind. Thank you.
Thanks for showing up,
God bless you.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Be blessed. All right.
Be blessed. We'll see you again on next week. Bye for now. We'll turn it over to Ms. Rihanna. Good night, gentlemen.
All right.
One day when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory,
glory.
Oh,
glory,
glory.
Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.